And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host for today is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody.
I appreciate you sitting in today for Butch Paul, him and his wife. I guess she's having a little bit of surgery today, so prayers for Marcia. And he will be returning next Tuesday. And so thanks again. And let's get right to the market reports today. We have gold. It was higher today, but some pressure. About a buck. At 1,327. Silver was down 6 pennies today at 17.02. Platinum was up $2 at 1,005, and palladium was down 15 at 1,102. The USDX today was trading weaker by 0.29 at 90.59, and crude oil was also down by 0.18 at 63.79. So all the numbers that I've read so far, with the U.S. dollar being weaker, except for crude oil being down a few pennies, but that shouldn't have had that much of an impact. Gold really should have traded higher today, and the high we had for gold today was 1333. So, and let's get to the stock markets today. They had a little pressure, almost triple digits, still above the 26,000 level, down 97 points at 26.18. The NASDAQ was down 2 points at 7,296. The S&P was down 4 at 2,798. Now, the 10-year yield, 2.61%. We'll have to see if that continues to close above that 2.60 level, the number that Bill Gross says was a very critical for that 10-year yield. But it does have to close. You know, it can't close up there just one day and then, you know, trend backwards. So we'll see what happens to these markets with the with that rate beginning, or that yield beginning to rise. The euro, let's see where the euro was at, up 0.38, of course, at 1.22, still weaker than the 1.23 we saw earlier in the week. And let's see, you know, everything, you know, there's always such good news out there that, see, was there anything else I wanted to touch on, Dave? There is a lot of news that we have to cover today, Dave.
Hi.
That was hard to say. Today, Dave. You know, there's so much going on, Dave, but yet we've gotten to this point where there's so much being thrown at us, so much noise, so many distractions, that if it isn't something that's so critical, we feel like it's a slow news day.
Yeah.
And yet things continue to unfold at a very rapid pace.
Indeed they do. Where do you want to start?
Well, I know you had something, you know, just to start the program out a little bit. There is a lot to cover. We have the unemployment benefits that we'd like to talk about here. And but you wanted to talk about something about cold. We've had a lot of cold across this country, and the deep south has gotten snow, and we shouldn't complain about our chilliness.
Indeed. Indeed. So, and getting an email from my cousin who lives in the central eastern coast of Florida, who was complaining about driving back from one of the Carolinas through snow and weather in the teens. I wanted to share a news brief about just that, the weather. You know, hey, isn't weather what we usually like to talk about to break the ice? Well, in this case, yeah, literally. I read this morning, Melody, that temperatures in Yakutia, Russia dropped Tuesday to minus, hold on to your seat, 88.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, interestingly, students routinely go to school there when it's 40 below zero, but minus 88 was just enough for a snow day. Now, I'm sure there were still detractors in Yakutia who were wondering, geez, it's not even 100 below. Why are we closing schools today? Proving once again that you can't please all the people all the time, especially when they got icicles hanging all over them. So, yeah, there you go. I got to send this article on to my my cousin, which when I saw it, it originally was intended for him, but I thought it was such a fun anecdote that it was worthwhile to listeners, too, particularly those who are living in colder parts of the U.S. Than we are.
And I say it's winter, and there's so much for that global warming and everything when you have 88 degrees below. That's cold. I got the chills just thinking about it. But not too many Americans. I can't say this number has chilled too much, or the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits fell more than expected last week, the lowest level in 45 years. But you also have to remember that it was only a four-day work week. Last week you had Monday closed. So, but the decline likely overstated the health of the labor market, as data for several states were estimated. Initial claims for state unemployment benefits dropped 41,000 to a seasonally adjusted 220,000 for the week ending January 13. Now, they say this is the lowest level since February 1973, but what cracks me up, Dave, is the big news is they've been hitting these 40-year records for a long time. It goes back several years to where of these unemployment benefits dropped, because I went to check. I was looking to see charts, to find charts and so forth, and I was looking at a statement, a report from 2015, and it said the lowest unemployment benefit claims since, you know, for 43 years and 42 years. And I'm thinking, do we get excited about this number? Should we get excited about this number? Or is this has just been, you know, but anyway,
it'll be revised again next month. So
yeah, all so those revisions.
My humble answer is no, don't get too excited.
Economists polled by Reuters had forecast claims falling to 250 in the latest week. Claims had increased over the previous 4 weeks. And I think that's important. Claims had increased over the previous 4 weeks. Of course, we're ending the holiday season. And of course, it was a four-day week last week, not five. So last week marked the 150th straight week that claims remained below the 300,000 threshold. And let's see what else is there. Jobless rate at a 17 stayed the same, 4.1%. So, but again, they're putting a lot of attention to this report, Dave, because the creation of jobs report was weaker than expected. So it kind of offsets, you know, the how this will be viewed, and we'll see what January has for job creation when the numbers come out the first week of February. But
yeah, there's so much political strife right now that both sides will be sure to, I mean, and have been doing so for several years now. Dating back into the Obama administration, are just going to use any monthly numbers like these to their political advantage. And, you know, so there's spin here and spin there, and sooner or later, Americans are completely dizzy.
I mean, very good point there, very good point. What other economic news is out there, Dave?
Well, there, whatever economic news, there's lots of it. This is as much on the geopolitical end as it is economic, but they're sort of intertwined. Stock markets are at record highs, and a recession is still over the horizon, although that horizon could be much closer than some would want us to think. Yet Steve Levine of Axios writes in his 2018 geopolitical forecast that came out this week that the threat to all of this exuberance, mainly rising international tensions and instability, looks greater than any year since last century's great wars. That's a big wow to me. Here's Steve's quick take, listeners. What stands out is, in his words, the brittleness of politics across the planet. In Iran, the Koreas, Russia, and Saudi Arabia, to name a few of the flashpoints. He believes a wrongly lit match involving any of them could turn disastrous. He sees the threat level as being high, as do several other less than casual observers. The biggest danger Levine sees is miscalculation, because the combination of high-stakes politics and willful leaders needling each other, egging each other on, and particularly premeditated error might just be too fateful for our own good. Hawaii's mistaken missile alert last weekend shows the potential peril of fast decisions with imperfect intelligence. Melody, Steve's other big trends to watch in 2018, he believes the U.S. will opt to live with a nuclear North Korea. Scary thought. I'm not sure how there's a win here. Number two, Iran protests will soften the regime there. That would be a welcome thing. Elon Musk will have a great year. I guess Levine thinks...
What year? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if that's driverless cars, the discovery of a new battery source, or maybe perhaps it's SpaceX. Maybe, you know, that things are going to happen.
So he goes to 20 billion to 21 billion. You know, it's like, how can you have a bad day when you have, you know, $20 billion or more?
Anyway. Life is good in the stratosphere. His last one is that the big tech uprising will go populist. He sees an early example of this is Josh Hawley, who's Missouri's Republican Attorney General and U.S. Senate candidate, who launched recently a rare antitrust investigation of Google, which if that does play out, will be interesting. And we talk a little bit about antitrust later on in the show, if in fact we get to it. So, go ahead.
I do have a question about Elon Musk and SpaceX. Isn't that the one that just crashed? Didn't there was some sort of a...
You know, I lose track. He and a couple of his, I won't call them competitors, but some of the other private companies have been doing more and more testing, you know, hoping to keep the targets of commercialized space travel. So there was one recently, and I'm just not sure if that was SpaceX or Branson's or one of the other ones out there.
But SpaceX is Elon Musk, correct?
That's right.
Well, I think it was SpaceX then, and I saw a headline, I never got back to it today, where it says the taxpayers could be on the hook for that problem that they had. And I'm thinking, because a lot of these are government contracts that they have with these people. And, you know, and I'm thinking, why should the taxpayers be on the hook, you know, for their little experiments that go haywire? So, you know, again, hey, there's so much going on. Dizzy the people. As you said earlier, maybe they just make people dizzy that they don't see, you know, what the taxpayer really has got to gets put on their shoulders or out of their pocketbook.
Absolutely.
But so these all these rising geopolitical tensions will give gold and silver much better reason to hold than any cash holdings, and they should take their cash holdings and buy more gold and silver. I even saw when you talk about the geopolitical tensions, there was one I'd wanted to follow up. You don't hear anything in the news about Syria and Turkey. Turkey says they could act in Syria unless U.S. withdraws support for Kurdish forces. They even notified, I believe, the UN that, you know, this is an issue. I believe Turkey is a NATO member. And so... it's real interesting, and Turkey is really upset. I believe I even read that they took troops to their border, but the president Erdogan has repeatedly warned of an imminent incursion after Washington said it would help the Syrian Democratic Forces that was led by the Kurdish militia, and they set up a new 30,000 strong border fence. Gee, they can have 30,000 strong border fence, but we can't have a border. Anyway, that's another story. The U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson denied that the United States had any intention building a Syria-Turkey border fence, or I guess it's their border fence, and said that the issue had been misportrayed, misdescribed. Some people misspoke, so we're not quite sure, but Turkey is not sitting back. They deployed tanks Some Turkish troops have been in Syria for 3 months after entering the northern province following an agreement with Russia and Iran to try to reduce fighting between the pro-Syrian government forces and the rebel fighters. So, you know, it's a place in the world that, you know.
Yeah, just seems... another region where, as Levine says, you know, the biggest danger is in miscalculation, whether it's miscommunication, lack of communication, wrong interpretation of what someone says or does or doesn't do. Sooner or later, you've got 10,000 people dead and 50,000 wounded.
I think the thing that concerns me more is when you see the relationships and who they're turning to. It's just not one country that's standing up there, you know, flapping his wings. I mean, he's getting in there with Russia, with Iran, and I'm surprised you didn't see anything about China. But, you know, they're joining forces, and that's what's really disturbing to me.
Well, some might argue there's a vacuum in global leadership right now that might be causing something like that to happen. So, you know, I think we as a country have to decide, you know, where we see ourselves. And, you know, as we know, that seems to float from administration to administration anymore.
Yeah, but there shouldn't be a global leader unless you want a global government, a global everything else. And that's the problem. And I think also a lot of this, it does come down to finances. It does come down to, you know, the trading. It comes down, I mean, I can't even imagine. I'd like to see a list of all the sanctions against everyone out there. And of course, you know, one trying to be the leader of all. And I don't want it to be us. I don't think it should be us. You know, we have our own problems. And it's, and you're right about what this gentleman says. There is a lot of miscalculation, and it is very high stakes that could potentially have some serious consequences this year.
Indeed, it could.
Yeah. So. All right, we're just heading into, we'll be heading into the break real soon. And you wanted to talk a little bit about the, some of the, I mean, Apple. We're going to talk about Apple when we get back and their commitment with the tax cuts. So, and all the jobs that they will be creating here in the United States. So please stay tuned, folks, and we'll be right back.
Find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to the programs. They're archived there on a weekly and daily basis, so lots of things to read and listen from the website. And I know, Dave, you've been helping with the website, and when do you think we'll be able to? I know you sent me some things earlier this week that I just haven't had a chance to look at yet, but there was a rollout date for the new website, was there not?
Well, we're ready to roll soon. I hesitate to announce a date, but I am fairly confident, I should say even highly confident, that February 1st, it should be live by February 1st. If we can get it there sooner, I'm sure Melody will be the first to let you know.
Yes, I will. I've been saying this for over a year now that we were working, and but it takes a lot of time, and so I'm excited, folks, and we like to bring all that new technology to you, and a lot of it. We'll roll out the website, but then we'll be adding things as we go along. We'd like to be able to do some blogs and some videos and some updates through videos, and keep you posted on gold and silver and specials. And so I'm excited about it. There was a big announcement yesterday that because of the taxes that there's going to be a lot of windfall bonuses and benefits that came from DC's new tax law. Apple committed to some pretty big numbers, Dave.
Yeah, indeed they did. Tim Cook, Apple CEO, committed to directly investing $350 billion into the U.S. economy over the next 5 years, Melody. That includes $38 billion in repatriation taxes generated by the new corporate tax cut plan. It's fascinating. There are some pundits out there using hyperbolic metaphors, calling this the latter-day Marshall Plan, referring, of course, to the U.S.'s 1948 initiative when the Truman admin devoted over $140 billion in today's money to rebuild Western Europe after World War II. Cook emphasized the need for his company to be a leading corporate citizen and create jobs that will last through the latest technological advances. Now, of the $350 billion that Cook committed, $55 billion is set to be directly injected into our economy sometime this year. Then in addition, Apple announced yesterday that it would create 20,000 new jobs via direct hiring at its existing campus and the new campus it plans to build. Cook said Apple was already supporting over 2 million jobs if one considers its own direct employees and the employees of its 9,000 suppliers. Now, on the other hand, Melody, despite Apple and a handful of recent high-profile announcements from some of the S&P biggies, the recent cuts in corporate taxes haven't yet had a very meaningful impact on American companies' plans to boost investment or to raise workers' pay. That from a recent survey of the S&P 100 companies found. So far, the pay increases have been few and far between, with a few exceptions. Companies have announced specific plans that have announced specific plans are offering one-time bonuses in place of permanent wage increases. Then only 10 companies in the S&P said in this survey that they have specific plans to use some of the money saved from the corporate tax cuts to boost worker pay or invest in facilities or charitable causes. Now, there's a big exception to that charitable cause, and I'm kicking myself. Now, I forget the name of the company who today, I believe, announced that they plan, in addition to bonuses to its employees, to use its savings or a portion of the savings from its tax cuts to invest $100 million in charitable causes. So it'll be interesting. You know, the proponents of the tax laws, we know, argued that lower taxes are going to help smaller companies, in particular, boost wages as they compete to hire workers in a tight labor market. But there are some economists, including Joel Naroff, who is chief economist at Naroff Economic Advisors. He doubts that most small businesses are even going to see a big enough windfall to pass those savings along to workers. So Melody, I suspect it's far too early to tell how companies, you know, large and small, are going to use these benefits they gain as a result of the corporate tax cut plan. Certainly, there's some good examples to start off the year, but I think we're just going to have to wait a couple of quarters to see what else happens out there in the big bad world.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, these are all, you know, lovely numbers and so forth, but being the skeptic that I am, as everyone knows, you know, a lot of that money, also even Apple said that it's going to go back into the bonuses. It's not going to be, you know, cash that the people are going to get. It's going to be stock. You know, and again, these charitable causes, they're all tax deductible. And so, you know, how many subsidies, you know, when you start building plants and so forth, you get the subsidies that come from the local governments. So, you know, they invest, you know, what, $38 billion you said for this year, but what are they going to get in additional subsidies and so forth, you know, from the government and the taxpayer. So, you know, you're only going to hear the rosiness of what these corporations will do. And you know, hey, I'd love to see, you know, people do better. But it's been, and maybe it's you know, I read the fine print.
The big indeed. Print.
The big print giveth and the little print taketh away. I've worked in banks and insurance companies, and that's exactly what has always has happened. And even these tax cuts, when I was reading about the banks, you know, all these great bonuses and everything that these banks are doing is just covering up their poor earnings. So again, we're just not getting all the straight news to see the type of impacts that it's going to have. And so, again, I think we're going to be looking at a Ronald Reagan administration. We're going to have a good year this year, maybe, if nothing unforeseen happens. And then, baby, here comes the recession, depression, and our debt will increase, his increased 130% by the time he was out of office. So I don't see it any different. But anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, discount gold and silver, doing business the old-fashioned way with truth and honesty. Skepticism, I believe, is a healthy, healthy thing. Questioning authority, questioning what we're being, you know, what's being sold to us as a bill of goods. It's so important to know, you know, whether we're being fed the truth or being fed, you know, a line. So I say hats off to you, Melody.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, you just follow the money and the money will tell you. And I mean, Tim Cook, I mean, his boss, Jobs, they would never bring Jobs back into this country. You know, he says the jobs won't be returning. And, you know, I was reading something about Apple. I don't mean to get off because I know you want to talk a lot about a lot of things to cover today. But I was reading, it isn't the wages that Apple, you know, when you hear about jobs not coming back, it wasn't about the wages. He says United States can't compete with the way they, the fastness, because in manufacturing in China, they have dormitories where the workers live, and they can bring the workers, you know, at the drop of a hat. And it was explaining about just the structure, and that was a, would be a difficult way to compete here in the States, is just how the structure is set up. And, you know, they, I mean, they don't have unions or anything over there that take care of the employees and so forth. So, you know, and it was kind of interesting because I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah.
It was always about the wages, but no, it's the structure of how these plants are set up with the employees. So, hey, if Apple comes in and says, you know, you need to be at work in 5 minutes, they can bring thousands of employees on the line in a matter of minutes, so to speak.
Yeah, workers who are getting paid, by the way, pennies.
Yeah.
Pennies compared to what the average worker in the U.S. or other fully developed industrialized nations earn.
So the jobs coming back might not be manufacturing, but it would be, they have a, now they're building these huge database storage facilities and so forth, that they'll be, you know, that you see a lot of these tech companies, Google and, you know, all of them that are building and so forth. And I'm a far cry of a technology expert, as everyone knows. I have trouble getting on Skype, but I do read. I do read. And so it's, you know, there's a, you know, we'll see what bill of goods were being sold. And again, you know, then we can always bring back the, our debt and so forth. And we're kind of at the same spot as we are. The faster we go, the further behind we become, I guess. Dave.
The more, no, sure. The more things change, the more they remain the same. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that the same, what I said? The faster we go, the behinder we become? Or is that the same thing?
No, I think it's the same thing. I think I was agreeing with you. I was just speaking in another language.
No, I think I was the one speaking in a different language. And then we have India.
India.
Where you want to go? Then we have India.
We can go there a little bit.
If they're becoming the world's fastest growing economy, one thing about India that I like them becoming a strong economy because they buy gold. And
indeed,
that helps the price of gold. So, you know, we have, there was a new report from Morgan Stanley that talks about two major initiatives, digitizing its predominantly cash-based economy and reforming its antiquated tax system. And so, you know, it could also improve and amplify their expansion. And it could be one of the fastest growing large economies over the next 10 years. I can't imagine China's going to, you know, folks, there's going to be some major, major conflicts coming because everybody wants a piece of their pie. Everyone wants to be the fastest growing economy. But what I want to know is who's buying the things. Who has the money to buy the things that they're producing and making them the fastest growing largest economies? But
on a more alarming level, I mean, I saw a photograph of a large intercontinental ballistic missile on a flat truck in the streets of one of India's major cities. You know, that went along with a story reporting that India was about to embark on a missile modernization plan to build longer range missiles that could strike well into the heart of China, for example. So India's a strong U.S. ally in that part of the world. It's you're right about that, Mal. It's we've got to pay attention. We've got to pay attention, but it does look like India wants to enrich its citizens, hopefully build them a a larger quality of living with more disposable income. India's economy is poised to jump from its current seventh place position to the third largest and possibly the first the largest economy by 2027 with a $6 trillion gross domestic product. Its equity market, which is now 10th in the world, could jump to 5th with financial services and consumer discretionary stocks leading the way. Morgan Stanley says, you know, this could obviously make India a significant market for corporations worldwide. And if the country succeeds, it could be a template for other emerging as well as developed nations. Interestingly, moving Indians from a cash base to digital transactions, whether through, you know, bank credit cards, debit cards, credit cards, mobile wallets, that's a major catalyst for economic growth. Another program is aimed at ensuring that every household in India has a bank account. I mean, basic stuff, but a bank account with easy access. Since this financial inclusion initiative began there in 2014, Indians have opened almost 300 million bank accounts. That's astounding. We're in the 21st century. Yet another boost to digitization is demographics. Melody, India has among the highest number of young people entering the workforce over the next two decades. With access to laptops and smartphones, they're expected to adopt digital banking much more quickly than past generations. India's just another country I think we'll have to keep a closer eye on in 2018 to watch its impact on the global economy, which, as we know, has a direct effect on gold and silver prices. Melody, any other thoughts you have in that area?
Yeah, we love when they have their wedding season at the end of the year because they are big believers in gold. That is wealth for them, just like China. Gold is wealth. They understand it. They get it. And now you're going to have all these consumers. But we'll see if the world really goes that way. You know, can the world, you know, it's... You know, is it an exciting time? It's a dangerous time. It's an interesting time. It's a frightening time. It's and how can this with these countries, with the massive number of people, how can they be managed? How are they managed? How can they be managed? And so we will find out as we go into the last break of the day. We'll be back right after a few short minutes.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm not sure if we wanted to finish up on India. Are we finished? Or are we going to go on to something else? I have something I want to talk about, Wells Fargo, which is interesting.
We're finished. Go to Wells Fargo.
Are we done with India?
We're done with India. Let's come back home for a moment.
Well, you know, yesterday, a glitch, quote-unquote a glitch, leaves customers with empty bank accounts. Customers, after finding their checking accounts were drained due to a series of errors by the embattled bank, the January 17th glitch reportedly emptied several customers' accounts after processing their online bill payments twice and doubling transaction fees. According to CBS, the banking error also triggered overdraft fees on many checking accounts as customers around the country were mistakenly informed they had a zero balance. The bank's phone lines were reportedly jammed, of course, through the night. There were a lot of angry customers. So Wells Fargo later put out a brief statement. They said some customers, you know, here you have checking accounts with zero balances, and they address it through Twitter. You know, I mean, it's like,
are you kidding me?
They said some customers may be having an issue with their bill pay transactions. We are working to fix the issue and resolve this tonight. Thank you for your patience.
Well, that is probably for the news feeds.
But Wells Fargo, let me see here. Something popped up. Wells Fargo gave an updated situation today. The issue is apparently still unresolved. We are aware of the online bill pay situation, which is caused by the internal processing error. And the glitch, of course, is they've had that massive scandal back in 2016 that discovered their employees were opening millions of fake bank accounts just to meet sales goals. A couple of people have lost their jobs since the scandal broke. Of course, no one goes to jail anymore. So, you know, you can do whatever you want and not go to jail unless you're Bernie Madoff and do the amount that he did. And then maybe you'll go to jail. But and the only reason he went to jail is because all the people he stole from were rich.
Yeah.
You know, they were the elite. So that's why he went to jail. And so again, this is another sign, folks, of what can happen in the digital age and why it's so important to keep an eye on what you have and, better yet, have it in gold and silver. But people don't understand, you can always sell your gold. And we certainly do need some cash and in our bank accounts to pay our bills and so forth. But it's another sign of where we're heading. The systems are becoming overloaded, I believe. And technology perhaps isn't truly keeping up with what is expected and the demand for this technology. So there's lots of glitches, and you have to pay attention and get protected. And if you think it can happen to Wells Fargo, and I'm sure we haven't heard the truth. Well, I'm not sure, but there I am again. You know, was it hacked? Could it have been hacked?
Mm.
You know, we have hospitals that are hacked all the time and held for ransom, but you never hear stories about that. They're not going to tell you that. People would become, you know, it would ruin their business. So, again, that's the world we live in, and I guarantee you, Dave, there's probably a lot of people out there that say, well, you know what, it's not going to happen to me. And
well, just wait, folks. Experian, Wells Fargo, there's so many other examples, Target, and the like. If it hasn't happened to you yet, I'm afraid to say this, you're likely to be next.
Absolutely. And that's just the world we live in. And so, you know, when I see people doing all their banking online and all of this, it's certainly not safe, but gold and silver is. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We're running that same special. Prices are pretty much the same as yesterday. The 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, along with 1 ounce Buffalo Silver Rounds for $520. If you'd like to upgrade those 1 ounce Silver Buffaloes to Silver Eagles, the little package would cost you $555. 1-800-375-4188. And both those pricings include shipping. So it's a great, great little deal. What's next, Dave?
Well, there's a lot we could go to, but you know, we've been talking about this all week. We might as well do it again today because it is so forefront on the mind of many Americans. Melody, it's Thursday, so that must mean we're one day closer to a federal government shutdown.
Oh, yes.
As you know, we're
most now, people. Yay!
I know. Well, that's, you know, that may not be such a good thing. I mean, I certainly understand that sentiment, your grandmother or great aunt who lives on Social Security, you know, I mean, they probably wouldn't be directly affected. It's certainly immediately by a shutdown, but there are some just numerous services out there that could be affected. Plus, there are certain disruptions to the military that we can get into if we have time. I don't know that we will. But, you know, thing to know is, as you've probably been hearing, there's no deal yet that's been struck to keep government operations open past tomorrow. Congressional leaders in the House and Senate have been posturing all week. But the last couple of days, they've been posturing that progress is being made. But the blame game continues to be the preferred child's play of lawmakers, with R's pointing fingers at the D's and the D's saying, hey, you R's are in charge now. It's your responsibility, not ours. I don't know. Capital Observers, Melody, are reporting that the Dems are still trying to get a DACA fix into the continuing resolution, or CR for short, which would fund operations for another month, which means we'll be talking about this in about 4 weeks. While the Republicans are focusing on health care with the funding extension for the Children's Health Insurance Program and a deferral on a couple of Affordable Care Act taxes set to kick in this year or next. Let's see. No DACA, that's one thing we do know. The Republicans would like to consider that separately as a standalone bill, as part of a larger immigration package. Just this morning, the president tweeted that the six-year-old chip reauthorization, which has been a keystone to the Republicans' negotiating strategy to get Democratic votes, he tweeted, should be part of a long-term solution, not a 30-day or a short extension. So in Washington, Melody, it's just another day, another drama. Although Paul Ryan has scheduled a vote on the CR in the House for this evening, so listeners, stay closely tuned. There may be more to report tomorrow, or not.
Well, I guess his vote for the CR, I thought it was only good for like 2 weeks. It wasn't even going to be for 30 days. I mean, this whole thing is just absurd. I mean, what do they do up there? How hard can it be? You know, that's, you know, how hard can it be?
We just need a fundamental overhaul, I think. But, you know, that's now's not the time to go into that. you know, I'll tell you what, though. I think there are some ways, some practical ways. I mean, certainly not easy ways, but, you know, I worked for the Congressional Budget Office for several years back, although it was back in the 80s, you know, I believe, based on experience now, not mine, but our nation's experience with the dysfunction in Washington, that the Congress can still get to a better place, but they're going to have to impose another set of conditions on themselves just because they can't help themselves. You know, so I'm thinking if Congress doesn't pass an appropriation bill for the coming new fiscal year, which runs from October 1st to September 30th, then on October 1st, the start of a new fiscal year, two fundamental things should happen. First and foremost, paychecks for members of Congress should stop immediately. And the direct deposits to our lawmakers' bank accounts shouldn't resume until an appropriations bill to fund the government for the entire new year has been enacted. Next, if no appropriation bill were to be enacted by October 1st, discretionary funding for all government agencies should be cut by 5 to 10% below last year's level until a funding bill has been enacted. This would be accomplished by amending the Bipartisan Budget Control Act of 2011. You know, under current law, Melody, continuing resolutions work essentially by freezing funding at the previous fiscal year's spending level. And that's linked to the deal that led to the Budget Control Act of 2011. And just two times since then, Congress has reached two-year budget deals, which are required now, that raise those spending caps. But I'm betting that an across-the-board cut of 5 to 10%, I think that would keep lawmakers a tad more focused on doing their jobs more effectively on our behalf. I mean, I think those cuts would likely motivate ours, who wouldn't want to the defense spending reductions, even temporarily. 5 to 10% is a fairly substantial chunk. You're talking $800+ billion a year. And it would probably motivate the D's as well, who wouldn't want to see cuts in health care, low-income housing assistance, and all the other popular programs they support. And if you really want to get serious, throw in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other so-called mandatory programs, and I'm convinced that Congress would act on time every year. So I don't know what you think about that, but, you know, the time has come. You know, the likelihood of them imposing those kinds of restrictions on themselves probably next to zero, but it shouldn't stop us from talking about it.
Like voting in term limits, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
There are things that could be done. But, you know, and I think a lot of this that's true, I personally truly believe all of this is just noise and distractions, because I do think we're more fragile. I think that we are on the brink of something truly unfolding in our financial area, because the things that people that should be discussed and focused on, you just certainly the government shutdown and so forth. But you know, I find it. I can't remember when they shut down the government in 2013. Why they couldn't come to an agreement? What was the one thing that was keeping them from coming to an agreement back in 2013? I don't recall.
I forget too.
I don't recall what that is, but I mean, it's just. I think there's something much bigger going on, and I think all of these are distractions, I don't feel very comfortable. I just feel that there's something brewing underneath. I mean, truly, the Hawaii, the mistake. I pushed the wrong button. I mean, come on. Can it be that easy? I mean, you know, before sending out that type of an alarm, it's got to be easier than, I pushed the wrong button. I don't know. There's just too many strange and odd things that are going on, and the tensions here in the world. And I think a lot of this happy, good news, things are great. And I think it's all a cover up. It's all part of the past illusion that's been fed us. Only this time, it just seems like it's faster. It's bigger. It's all this stuff is just being thrown at us that we're trying to weed through what's really important, and that's what we do here, and that's what Dave is doing. And so, all I know, Dave, is it's. I'm going to say it again. We ain't seen nothing.
Ah, yes. Yes. It's music to my ears.
So, anyway, folks, it's now in time. You better take your and review your portfolios, your pensions, your IRAs. We have precious metals IRAs available for you if you need them. Taking physical delivery of your gold and silver, taking a peek at your pensions, your 401s, your IRAs. Folks, just don't be living on this dream and this information that's being flooding the financial markets. There's something dangerous that's lurking behind the curtain.
Well, speaking of dangerous, I know we're running short on time here. We talked yesterday about North and South Korea having a joint delegation marching at the opening ceremonies of next month's Olympics in South Korea, that the North and South agreed to field a joint women's ice hockey team. We find out today that North Korea is intending to bring 230 cheerleaders with their small delegation of athletes. I don't know. That makes me smile.
You can't make this up, can you?
You can't make that up.
230 cheerleaders, that's...
I love cheerleaders. Don't get me wrong. It's just we're talk about a wind of propaganda.
Hey, we're out of time, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Dave. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here for 20 minutes, and then we'll go into with James Corbett from the Corbett Report. But be safe. Good night, and God bless.